You seeing the signs, Hugh?
The signs. You saw the signs.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Yeah, there's a lot of signs out there. I mean, the signs are pointing to me that the Eagles are not comfortable paying Jalen Carter. I'd make him wait. Hugh Douglas backing up the Brinks truck. No worries.
Pay that man.
Mm. There's also another sign that we saw yesterday. All right, so, Hugh, the Eagles made a signing yesterday to bolster their front on defense. A.J. Epenesa, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, signed a contract with the Eagles. And, you know, he's had a solid career. Maybe not quite as great as people thought, because he was I think he was second-round pick. And he was a pretty high pick in the NFL drafts. And he's had what I would call a solid career. He's got 24 career sacks. He's had 3 different years of 6 or more sacks. Like, he's a solid edge rusher. He's played for Buffalo's whole career, 14 games, 14, 15, 15, 17, 16. Solid player. He just played his age 27 season. I think it seems to me like a decent signing, good depth signing. But Hugh, doesn't it feel like if they're signing another defensive lineman that Brandon Graham's chances of being back are disappearing by the day?
Probably. You know, Brandon's a little older, man, and, you know, he's been blessed to play, what, 15 years in the NFL? Yeah. That's phenomenal to be on one team for as long as Brandon's been on the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm not saying the door is closed, but they're probably trying to not, you know, stress him out and try to get younger at that position. You know, I mean, that's kind of what it looks like when you sign a player like Epenesa, 27 years old, has a little bit of – he's had a little bit of traction in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what it looks like.
Well, you start adding together all the names they have. They have Grenard. They have Jalix Hunt. They have Nolan Smith. They have Ebiketie. They have Epenesa. They have the Tryon Chayanka guy they signed. I mean, that's a lot of edges. I mean, I find it hard to believe unless they have a rash of injuries, which that's kind of what happened last year. They had some injuries, right? And who's the guy? Zadarius Smith that just up and retired on them in the middle of the season?
Bounced.
That's how Brandon Graham got back here for last season. So, you know, I know there was some speculation, wonder if he was coming back, and then his contract expired last week or whatever, how the way the contract was set up. I don't see it. I don't think he's going to be back on the team this year. So, it's Hewitt, if that's it, it's kind of an unceremonious ending, because he had the ending, right? The Super Bowl against the Chiefs, but then we redid the ending as he came out of retirement last year, which was cool, and they needed some help. He had the 2.5 or 3 sack game against the Raiders, but it feels a little unceremonious if this is the real ending.
I mean, it all depends on how you look at it. Brandon has played and been able to play for 15 years in one spot. And he got one more year after the Super Bowl year.
But that felt like the end. The Super Bowl felt like the end.
It did, but I don't look at it as like, oh, well, he should have just left the Super Bowl year. He got one more year out of it.
No,
got one more year of a crude season. See, I'm looking at it as an older guy who about to get his 401k in a couple months if he decides to take that. You know what I'm saying? And when I think about the
401k,
money,
Douglas, write that down for the bracket next year.
I'm just saying. Brandon, when I look at what Brandon did, Brandon got another year of going 2-for-1 on his 401k and in a 15-year season. So to me, no matter how you slice that piece of pie, he still left on his own terms and he still won. He's still a champion.
I don't know if he left on his own terms.
He did leave on his own terms.
I'm not sure.
He walked off the field on his own power.
Well, no, sure. No, but like,
and he still wanted to play. You know what defeated Brandon Graham in this all of this? Father Time.
Well, and
we know Father
everyone.
Time. Yeah, it's undefeated.
I mean, it kicked your butt. It kicked everybody's butt,
but it kicked my butt a whole lot earlier than it kicked his. And for that, I commend him for that. I mean, he left, like, certain guys leave on their own terms. Everybody else get kicked out. Mm-hmm. I think, if I'm not mistaken, me, John, Richie, and Ike got kicked out the league. We got kicked out. We got booted. Get out. Get your ass up out of here.
They kicked you right to WIP. Get out of WIP.
Brian Dawkins left on his own power. Brandon Graham, Jason Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want. That's how you want to lead the game, but we don't get to do that. So for Brandon to be sitting at home and somebody call you and say, hey, you want to play football, and he can still play, and he went out there, and you know, he wasn't the guy he was, but he could still go out there and run with them young
cats. Give him some snaps,
Man, I commend him for that. So that's a win.
And if he feels that way, that's good for – I guess the way I – from his perspective, he's happy, cool. I mean, he's a great Eagle. I guess from a fan perspective, it was the perfect ending, and then last year was not.
It was.
Super Bowl, and then he had the speech, and then we did BG Day. Like, it was all
But think about it like this, too,
And then last year's like, did that really even happen?
But think about it like this, too, though. from the stories that Brandon has kind of shared with me, they called him. Like, yes. He wanted to play. He kept himself in shape. And they called him. And he answered the call. Mm-hmm. So they needed him. In a sense, they need him. I think that this year they probably won't call, you know, because they got the young cats in there. And they'll work with them. But that's probably not going to stop Brandon from working out. Probably going to still work out and stay in shape. And if he gets a 16 season, that would be, I'd be like, damn, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And no matter how it goes, if they call the phone and say, hey, we want you to come, you know, be a mentor, get a couple snaps or whatever, I think that's a win for him. I really, really do.
Is your phone line still open if they call?
Oh, hell no.
Just wondering.
Man, listen, when I sat out there, when we were out there playing in that game where I got struck out at.
The softball game.
And I was sitting out there, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I keep myself in pretty good shape. But being out there with them, it just, the reality of how far I am from what I used to be and what they are was very, very humbling. It really was. And it was one of those things where I was happy to be a part of it, but I also knew, I'm like, damn, even BG, like, from me to him is light years away, you know, and it was pretty cool to be out there. But the reality is, what those cats do on a Sunday, everybody's not built to do that. Like, and it's just being there with those, like, looking at Jalix Hunt, who else was out there? There's a bunch of defensive linemen. Who's the one from, I can't think of his name right now, he played for the Commodores, then played with the Saints, played Ohio State.
Chase Young.
Chase Young. Just being out there on the field with them, man, I'm like, good googly. These are some big-ass kids. Mm-hmm. Some big grown-ass men that are out there every Sunday putting in work. And then you look at BG's, me and BG built about the same, and I'm like, he's still doing it. 15 years in. Very, very humbling. Very, very humbling. So for him to go, if he got a call and he went to go play, I commend him for that. Even no matter what it looks like. Somebody called you and thought highly enough about you that they let you be on the roster.
But it does feel like, and my gut is that the Eagles are moving in a different direction.
Probably. More than likely.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play this season. And if he doesn't play for the Eagles, I don't think he's going to play again. Just quickly, though, after you told that story, I think we got a podcast title for this segment of the show. Hugh Douglas, I'm not the man I used to be.
I'm not the man I used to be.
And that's okay.
I mean, we all are. You know, and it's another song that I think about. It's a song by Rick Ross where he say, I might not be bigger than Biggie, but I'm bigger than you.
That's your favorite. You've said that one before. All right, Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. You know what? I'm curious where people come down on the Jalen Carter thing. Should the Eagles just extend Jalen Carter?
70% yes.
62% no.
Is that right?
Yes.
Interesting.
You got cooked on that one a little bit.
Yeah, I did a little bit.
You were very confident you were on the right side.
But boy, yesterday I had a
boom.
Day.
Boom!
Yesterday I had a day. I was all over them polls.
The only thing you did yesterday was further your agenda that Andy Dalton could take over for Hurts.
That's
your agenda. Nobody else is here on WIP. All right, can we hear from Nick Sirianni yesterday when presented with so Jalen Carter at practice for the mandatory stuff. He was not at a lot of the voluntary stuff or really any of it this offseason, but he was there the last 2 days, but only doing individual work, not teamwork. Why? Here's Sirianni when asked that question yesterday.
Jalen Carter not taking part in team drills, is that injury related, contract related?
I don't have to get into. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get into all those different things. You know, right now, I've been able to work some individual scenarios. You know, in individual practices, and that's where everybody's in a little bit different boat right now of you know where they are in the off season, and that's where Jalen is right now.
Yeah, my rule is when you say I'm sorry in the middle of an answer about a potentially controversial subject.
You already know what it is.
Yeah, the antenna's up. Like, yeah. We have a contract situation in our hands.
And for individuals, I'm about to be petty for like 2 seconds. And for individuals that don't think that there is something there, then you're probably stupid.
Oh, you're dense. Yeah, there's not much going on in your head if you don't think there's something happening here. I mean, come on, wake up. 215-592-9494. Scott in Abington is up. What's up, Scott?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, Scott.
The Jalen Carter thing is a math problem, not a talent problem or an attitude problem. You know, so you have the front seven, and you have the defensive back. You know, the backs. If you look at historically good defenses, it was either the front seven making it, putting a lot of pressure on a quarterback so that you can have slightly weaker defensive backs, or you have lockdown defensive backs that make it easier for mediocre front seven guys to get the job done. So when you take the math in this whole thing, if you can lock up the backfield or the defensive backs, that gives you more money to spread around a higher quantity of positions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is going on here. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Eagles get off to a shaky start, because I think we all kind of expect it. And they could literally trade Carter at the deadline this year and develop resources for following years, knowing that if it's also shaky throughout the year, we've probably seen the last season of Jalen Hurts, which means inexpensive quarterback next year and more resources to put into the defensive front seven. Yeah. So I think when you have, DeGene is great because, he can tackle and he covers well. You got Quinlan who can, really, really cover. He doesn't jump routes, though, so he doesn't get a lot of interceptions, but he covers really, really well.
And Greenland and Quinlan.
If Makuba does well, if they have Epps is back, if he does the job, well enough so that they're putting pressure on the quarterback by having to hold the ball longer, then a more mediocre front seven can actually get the job done.
I think you framed it well, and it's a good phone call. I think the Eagles are dealing with more of a math problem than they are a talent problem. The question, and you started when we started the show today, it's not about Jalen Carter's talent. It's been obvious to anyone with eyes since Georgia to the NFL, he has talent.
Yeah.
But Scott went down a path there. It really got me thinking about this money thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two thoughts as Scott said that. Number one, can they afford all these defensive players as time goes on? The second thing is, you know what's happening?
What's happening?
The Eagles are taking a direct shot at Hugh Douglas.
Is that right?
Well, what did
somebody's defensive luxury, not a necessity.
So right now, we have Jordan Davis at $26 million a year, Grenard at $25 million a year, Bond at $17 million. Over the next year, if we keep all these guys, it's going to be Carter at $32 million. It's going to be Quinyon somewhere around $30 million. What do we think Cooper's going to get, $20?
Yeah, he's going to get paid.
Okay. I mean, that would be a direct shot at Hugh Douglas from the Eagles.
But guess what?
What?
It's not now.
What do you
because
mean?
Most of the money, like I've been saying for years,
hold on,
with that historic take that I had, that's on ChatGPT.
Historically ridiculous and awful.
Defense is a luxury, not a necessity.
But the Eagles are telling
most
you
most of the money is allocated to the offensive side.
That's
of the ball.
About to change now, in a significant
AJ,
way.
AJ, when he got rid of him, that took a little bit of a hit, to save some money. But yeah,
traded the money.
Still,
away.
Hey, that take still is hot. That's a hot take.
It's not. It's a cold. It's a cold. It's,
hot take.
It's ice cold.
Lives rent free in your head.
Well, it's in your head because you're defending it.
No, I'm not. I'm
you
not
are defending it before the Eagles even do a
I
thing.
I ain't got to defend it.
You do.
I ain't got to defend it because it stood the test of time. And it's still standing the test of time. Who just got paid yesterday? It was off an injury-riddled season.
Who's that?
Patrick Mahomes got paid.
He's the best quarterback
still,
of the generation.
Still, he got hurt. He got hurt. And we sit up here arguing about somebody's attitude. We don't want to give him no money.
Who?
Defensive player. Jordan Davis.
You want to pay him.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm just trying to figure out how they're going to spend all this money the next
I'm
couple
just saying.
Years.
Patrick Mahomes coming off knee injury.
Using Mahomes got in two this of is things. Ridiculous.
He got extension. Got what? He got 60 mil?
64 million.
Hey.
He's the best quarterback of the generation.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
Hey. This guy, what I'm about to quote some Aaron say. The Sky Marshal?
Enough.
He's about to get paid.
Well, he's the Sky. If there's a Sky Marshal in the league,
you know
it's Mahomes.
The Sky Marshal about to get paid.
No, hold on a second. Where's all this money coming from in the salary cap league?
Hey,
pay him and pay him and pay him.
Howie season.
No.
Howie season.
There's a salary cap.
You don't even believe in Howie.
No, first of all, don't be screaming Howie season.
Howie hater.
When it's time to break bread, like screaming Howie season in. I got that confused. Maybe Jamal was kind of right. I'm all over the place.
No, to sustain you.
Don't do that. Don't do that. That was uncalled for. But yeah, got paid, was hurt. He's sitting at home still trying to get right for the season. They gave him a check. 60
As
mil.
They should. He's the best quarterback of a generation. They're not going to pay Patrick Mahomes.
And we arguing about Jalen Carter getting his bread.
Well, when Jalen Carter's in the same league as Patrick Mahomes, then maybe we
put hands on. He put hands on him. Put hands.
That's
on
not. Mahomes. That didn't win an argument. What's the hot? What's the hot? Do you think they can afford?
No, like, can they afford everybody?
Everybody.
No.
Okay.
No, they can't.
Well, then that. What did you think of Scott's assertion that they could trade Carter at the deadline?
During the season.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
I don't think so. Why would you trade if he's playing well? If defense is going to be our strength, it's going to be our bread and butter, it's going to be our backbone this year. Because we've all conceded the fact that the offense might struggle. Mm-hmm. And Scott said we might get off to a slow start, right?
Yeah.
Why are we trading away a big cog in the wheel of our defense, and our defense is probably going to be the tip of the spear?
Well, I'm not saying I'm just getting into Scott's head. He said, I guess the theory would be if you're not going to pay him, you trade him.
I mean, if he's playing well, I don't think it would be smart to trade him.
Well, I'll say this. Every day that they don't pay him, the idea that he's not actually here eventually is more of a reality, right? That doesn't mean if they don't give him a contract this summer, he's off the team a year from now. But every day, I mean, guys, there's something going on with this Jalen Carter thing that has been brewing for a year. My mind first went to this when the Micah Parsons rumors started. What was that, last summer, right?
Yeah.
We found out they tried to trade for Micah Parsons because we started to workshop, like, hold on, can they really afford Micah Parsons and Jalen Carter? And then didn't Parsons on one of his dumb streams or podcasts say that they were going to trade Jalen Carter for him? Remember that whole thing, Kyle, last summer?
I do remember something vaguely like that.
I think Parsons said that. And we didn't want to believe him because he's a goofy. But, like, you know, maybe he was right.
He said he's a goofy.
Well, then the Garrett thing. I mean, there is something going on here.
Also, you think they want to move on? They want to move on. They don't want to pay him. They want to move on from him.
Or they don't trust him. I mean, if they were interested in Micah Parsons, obviously that would have come with a contract. If they're interested in Myles Garrett, that would have come with a contract. Can you pay two players on your defensive line $35 million a season? Probably can't, and have an expensive quarterback. There's something brewing here with the Eagles that it just feels like it's all intertwined with the money. And I got you over here just giving out money willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly.
Left and right.
Left and right.
You know, maybe this actually does, deep down, play to the Andy Dalton thing. If you go to Andy Dalton at quarterback, you have a cheaper quarterback, and then you can pay everyone. Now, is that what you're angling at?
I'm just thinking more so it might be, Andy, if this offense is not being ran the way that they wanted to be ran. That's what I was thinking. It's not so much that trying to say Jalen's not going to do this or that. Because like I said before I started that conversation, I said I think Jalen's going to thrive in this offense because he's attacking.
But
if he does it, then Andy Dalton is a contingency. Yes, he is. That's why he's here. That's why he's getting all the reps. I stand on that.
He's splitting reps with McKee as the two. I'm like,
he's not. He's getting as many reps or almost as many reps as the number one quarterback.
I just can't buy that Andy Dalton would play a meaningful game for the Eagles until December.
I hope that's not the case.
I can't, even in a world where Jalen plays poorly, I can't see a world where they go to Andy Dalton. It just feels like zero upside to me. But listen, you're the Red Rifle guy on the show, so we're gonna let you have this one.
I'm the Red Rifle guy
on the station, really.
I am the Red Rifle guy on the show. It's crazy.
I wonder if anyone joins you in this pursuit, or this is a season-long thing that only you will believe.
If Jalen doesn't play well, who's going to be the start? Who are you going to put out there?
I don't think they would do. I think they would just let Jalen flail until December.
I kind of agree.
If the season is shot, yes. But if they feel like, say, if the season starts, and
give me a week. Season starts, Jalen's struggling. What week is it where this becomes a reasonable thing?
Well, how egregious is, like, in my mind, if Andy Dalton is the quarterback, that means that Jalen has no concepts of how this offense is going to be ran. That's the extreme case.
Okay, but like, when do you think they would pull a plug on that kind of thing?
I would say if it was going to happen, if that was the extreme case, listen to what I'm saying, okay. The extreme case.
We're all listening.
Probably about a month.
A month?
Joe, if he's not, say conceptually.
Yeah, no, I understand your point.
You know what I'm saying? If he's not running the offense and he's not seeing it the way that he needs to see it, then yeah, a month. Because you're still, say, if you're in a position –
So when we go to London, we're going to watch Dalton play.
Y'all going to let me finish workshopping this? Because I'm trying to tell you the extreme scenario in this. If he's not playing well and they still feel like they're in a Super Bowl window and that's the biggest hindrance to them having success, then yes.
But you can't win a Super Bowl with Andy Dalton.
You won a Super Bowl with what's his name, Sam Darnold?
But Sam Darnold's 28 and Andy Dalton's 30.
No, but what I'm saying is he was a guy who was considered a bust at one point.
I know.
Andy Dalton's like 50.
Stop.
No.
Did Joe Flacco win a playoff game a couple years ago for Cleveland?
He lost. They made it, though.
A playoff game, Hugh?
He lost.
Didn't he help turn the season around for Cleveland?
Let's be honest.
Yes. That's a fair point. Yes, he did.
Let's be completely honest. If Jalen can't pick up the offense, the season shot.
Yeah, I agree.
It's that simple. Whether you put in Dalton, McKee, Red Star, no one's saving this season.
That's not what I'm arguing. I'm saying if he can't pick it up and they feel like they can salvage the season.
No, I don't see those two worlds happening at the same time.
Why not?
If the quarterback can't pick up the offense, the season's done.
So in your world, why is he getting as many reps as the quarterback's getting?
Who?
Why is Andy Dalton getting as many reps as the starting quarterback?
Well, Q, there's scenarios between Jalen going down for the season and not picking up the offense.
Okay,
what if he needs to step in for one game?
How many reps did Tanner McKee get in OTAs? You can't answer that question.
Can you?
Only one that can answer that is ESPN.
I can
answer you this. He didn't get as many as the quarterback. He didn't get as many reps as a quarterback that we had to talk about it. This has been talked about this year.
Why would any backup quarterback get reps? It's because in case they need to step in for a game.
You know why the backup quarterback getting reps? Because they're trying to get both of them up to speed to see who's running offense better. That's usually what happens.
Maybe. I'm just saying if we're in a world where Jalen can't pick up the offense, there's no how can we salvage the season with the backup quarterback? It's not happening.
I actually think, and this might surprise you, I'm saying this, I think they owe it to Jalen and themselves to give him till December. Because to me, if Jalen struggled the first month really bad, and that's possible, and we go to the point that Hugh's making that another quarterback would come in, it's over. That they've only given Jalen 4 or 5 weeks to decide if he's the future quarterback. If he's benched, it's over. So I think he, and they owe it to themselves to figure out if Jalen could do this. I think you got to give him till December. You know, like that's where I come down on it. Because once you go away from him, it's over. They he will not be their quarterback in 27. They'll need a new quarterback, and that might be the case anyway. But at least I think you got to give him 12 to 13 games to show you he can or can't.
Like I said, in this scenario, this was extreme cases.
I know.
And in this scenario, if you feel like you still are in your Super Bowl window, and that's the position that's hindering you from being that.
I get it.
That's why you do that.
I harken back to 2020 on this. The 215-592-9494. For 2020, Carson Wentz played as bad as you could possibly play. I mean, it's kind of the extreme you're talking about. He made you want to vomit watching quarterback play. And they let him play.
Strong.
They let him play till December because I think they knew the same thing. Like, if we pull the plug, it's over. The era's over. The player's over. We got to figure out the next thing. And they waited. I mean, I remember watching the month of November where it was like, you could pull a player out of college and you might get better quarterback play than this. It was that bad. And they let him play. I don't think anything happens till December. 215-592-9494. Are your phone calls on all this? Jalen Carter, would you pay him now? The Knicks come back last night. Kyle's mad at my assertion that if this Knicks team played for the Sixers and they wore our uniform, they'd be the most popular Philadelphia team ever. That like they play the way we want them to play. Your take on Hurts as well, after he talked yesterday, and Hugh's assertion here, as we label him fairly, the Red Rifle guy at WIP. And we got to get to the Phillies game last night. Good win, but a little concern afterwards with an injury. That's all next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Swung on, hit deep, left field. Going back on a Piñango, looking up, and it is gone. And Alec Bohm with a 3-run home run breaks the game open here in the third inning.
Hey.
His 8th home run of the season. And the Phillies now lead it 4-0 over Scherzer.
Welcome back, Midday Show.
Better late than never.
8 homers for Bohm.
Only 22 left.
What do you think? Make it run? Make you right?
Yeah. Not maybe 15.
Well, I'll take 15.
I'm going to take 15.
Where he started in April 15?
Yeah.
So, hold on. You've cut 30 in half.
Yeah, I did. I had to. I mean, you know.
It was like our caller yesterday who told us 85% of Super Bowl teams don't make it back the next year. Super Bowl losers.
Yes, he told you.
Alternative
facts. He told me, yes. But then we cut that down. We fixed it.
It happens.
It does. Facts are, you know, they are what they are. But the Phillies did win last night, which is the important part. You know what was nice about it? Well, it got a little tight later, but it felt like a little breather. Right in the middle of the game, it's 6-0. You're like, this is an easy one. Man, they got a little hairy at the end, but they took care of it. So a couple things from the game that stood out. One, the Bohm home run, the Schwarber home run. They're getting some power now back in the lineup, which is great. They need that. That, you know, is easy ways to score runs. The other thing is, you know, It's so funny watching great players as they age, because like Max Scherzer, that guy, he's it's time to go home. I mean, he's got nothing
come on
left.
Home, dog.
I mean, his ERA's 10.
He did ask for a blow yesterday and then let up the home run. That
did.
Was the home run.
That was in the third inning.
Yeah, because he was saying, I need a blow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the third inning. I'm like, this guy used to go eight, like nothing. It's
he said
over.
It with conviction, too. I need a – he was – you saw his mouth, and I need out of here.
We all saw what happened there. That was wild.
Pop-Pop's got to hang him up.
Yeah, it's over for Max Scherzer. Good job by Don Mattingly. He's been very aggressive with the bullpen. And the thing I really love about the way Mattingly's managed the last month or so, Hugh, when they have a chance to win a game, he's very much in the day. Now, we'll see how it plays out over 4, 5, 6 months. But, you know, let's use Topper for an example. Topper was very much – I got to think about the big picture. I'm always thinking about August and September.
He's playing chess.
But that would get him. They would lose games in May and June because he was worried about August and September. Mattingly has not managed like that. I mean, he's got his foot on the gas. Last night, he got that, you know, when the bullpen started being shaky, he got those guys out, you know, went back to the guys he used a lot. I mean, he's managing every single day to win the game, which sounds like, of course he is, but not every manager manages like that over 162. They think way more of big picture. I appreciate this. I mean, he came into a tough situation, 9-19, and he's just had his foot on the gas every day since he got here.
Yeah, because his job is to try to get this team to the postseason.
Yes.
I mean, and that's he's taking his job very seriously. You know, it was one of those situations where it felt to me like initially he didn't want to take the job, but now that he has it, he's going to push all the right buttons and try to put them in position to get to the playoffs.
Yep. Well, one of the buttons he's going to have to push soon is probably figure out what he's going to do in right field for a little bit. So Adolis Garcia got hurt last night making a throw in from right field. You could see it. He grabbed the bottom of his right arm right away. It sounds to me that it would look to me like he's probably going to be out for a little bit here. Let's hear Mattingly after the game last night on Garcia and what he's thinking.
What's your level of concern about Garcia?
I'd say a little bit. Obviously, I didn't, you know, anytime a guy, they kind of know when they've done something. So we'll see what happens. They'll probably get some imaging tomorrow. We'll find out where, you know, the true severity of it. But hope for the best and we'll see what happens.
All right. So we'll hope for the best. We'll see if there's news today. They're off today. They're going to play the Brewers tomorrow in Milwaukee and go up against Mizorowski. But he was just watching it, hearing Mattingly.
Didn't look good, man.
So we can cross our fingers. Maybe it's just a 10-day IL stint. But that looked like that's an arm injury. I mean, he grabbed his arm when he threw. And I anticipate he's going to go on the injury list. So now what do they do in the outfield? Because it's not like it was a strength to begin with, and now we're down one of our regular outfielders.
Constantino.
Excuse me?
I was just about to say it. I mean, he had the crib chilling, and you're already paying him, you know?
Now we can't go back to the Castellanos.
Yeah, hold on. Bring him back. Give him a Presidente.
Dombrowski brings an El Presidente over to the house.
Garcia comes back. You just called him again.
They are paying him. I mean, to your point. I mean,
and our manager carried the stick.
Yeah,
and Topper's not here. No, I can't talk myself back into Castellanos.
Yeah, you can. Just give it some time.
But hold on, let's not
forget. Wait till you get the MRI and then see how you feel.
He stinks, guys. He can't hit.
That's
he couldn't
a good,
hit.
That's a good counter.
He couldn't hit in San Diego. Suck, yeah. Couldn't hit here at the end.
Yeah, I mean, he's a total turd. Guy
stinks. Can't play defense at all. No, I'm out on that.
Yeah. I mean, he got cut from a Padres team who really can't hit.
They can't hit either.
Not only did he get cut, they brought him on the trip back home and he cut him.
It was a... It was like a was it the guillotine out in the town square?
Yes. Left him there. So all right, so Hugh, here's the problem. The fact that you guys even have jokingly brought up Castellanos shows that we don't have much outfield depth here. I mean that's the case. Are we gonna go back to the Otto Kemp? Who's coming up?
We have an everyday right fielder on the roster.
Who's that?
Bryce Harper.
Your boy.
That's an interesting idea. Okay, so let's workshop that one. So let's say that Garcia's out and going to be out for a little while here. That might actually be their best day-to-day option. Harper back to right field. You could put Bohm at first. You could play Kemp at third. I mean, you could play Sosa at third. You know, that one, of all the stopgap options until we get to the trade
deadline.
That's
the easiest fix.
You like that one better than Gasty?
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably
Who would you rather
fix.
Play tomorrow? If you had to write a lineup
course,
out tomorrow.
Bryce, I know.
It would be Sosa, right? Because Sosa would enter the lineup on an everyday basis versus Castellanos. I can't, the Castellanos thing. I mean, that's
I mean,
we
an
burned
option.
That bridge. It's not an option.
He burned that bridge.
You're paying him. You're still paying him.
You really think Castellanos is an option after everything that went down? It's not an option.
What you mean, everything? Like what? You talking about the El Presidente and everything? Yeah. Hey, well, that's water under the bridge, man.
They cut him already.
Yeah, they did.
Is it water under the bridge?
It's water under the bridge.
It's not water under the bridge.
He was forgiven to Castellanos.
I mean, I'm just saying, don't you need somebody? You need somebody. Do you think Bryce is going to go out there? Like, that's the question.
He's Mr. I do whatever it takes to win.
And what happened last time you asked him to do that?
Didn't he offer to go to right if they got a first baseman last year?
He did.
Okay.
But now this is out of pure necessity.
Well then, you know what, Bryce? Don't be a fraud and offer again.
I think it's the best option they have. I mean, all the guys in the minor leagues have shown no ability to hit up here.
He said, don't be a fraud and
offer. Well, seriously. Like, if we do this with Jalen, who's Mr. I'll do whatever it takes to win, and then we find out he won't run. If Bryce is Mr. I'll do what it takes to win, then go out the right field. If that's what it takes to win, go do it.
Well, so, all right. The Castellanos thing is a bridge too far. Let's put that to the side.
Bridge too far.
So here are the realistic options between now and the trade deadline if we go off the idea that we lose Garcia for a while. Call up someone from the minors, right? That's the I guess the regular kind of routine idea. But all these guys haven't shown any ability to hit. It's Otto Kemp, it's Felix Reyes, it's Brian De La Cruz. There's not much down there. You know, Rincones is someone that's been interesting for a while, but I think he's on the injured list. I mean, he just hurt I think it's a hip. So I don't really think they have a legitimate option that would every day.
Basically, what you're saying is our farm system is not equipped to handle somebody getting hurt.
No. And the trade deadline is still a little under 2 months away. It's going to be hard to get someone in here. I think the idea of asking Harper, telling Harper, why are we asking, by the way? Why don't we just tell him?
Yeah. I mean, what's he going to do?
I mean, we tried that. Didn't we try that?
I don't know if anyone tried to force him to go out there.
You know what I'm tired of? This idea that we have to ask these players to go play baseball.
Yeah.
Asking him to fly a plane.
I'm with you.
You used to play right field for a decade. Go put our outfielder's glove on and go back to
the
outfield.
But when he signed the contract, that doesn't say first baseman.
It does not. It says baseball player for the Phillies or whatever.
I just wanted to clarify.
I know.
It sounds easy in here, though, don't you? Try to sell that to him, though.
And what's he going to do if it says 9 next to his name, right field?
Hold on. Sell what, though?
To go back out there.
We shouldn't have to sell Bryce.
No,
this
right.
is our best path to winning
I
right
totally
now.
I totally agree. You shouldn't have to, but this sounds like you're going to have to. That's the difference. You shouldn't have to do that. You're right. You're totally right. But it sounds like that's exactly what you're going to have.
And the problem for the Phillies here is timing. So if this happened, it's what? It's June 11th. If this was July 21st.
Yeah. It'd be a little different. You got time.
Well, you also would say, hey, Dave's about to make a trade anyway for an outfielder, right?
So give me a couple games and keep it moving.
Or, you know, you could even, if that's the case, just pluck one of these guys from AAA, go play for a week. We're working on a trade. We'll figure it out. They've got 2 months until the trade deadline. So they can't just mess around and let, Felix Reyes go out there and swing and miss for 2 months. These games are important. So the Garcia thing is, it's obviously a concern. We'll see how bad it is. We'll see what the MRI says. But I like that idea. Tell Bryce Harper to go play right field for 2 months. And you know what? It also opens up the trade deadline for Dombrowski. Like, once he's in right field, if the best option you get in the trade market is a first baseman, you just stay out.
You
right
have
field.
More options.
Yeah, and if we find a right fielder, then you go back to first base, which he could do easily.
Right, and this isn't, Harper, you're permanently moving back to right field for the duration of your contract. This is go fill that space for a couple months if we need that, and then we'll go from there. If guy becomes available at the deadline, we slide him in, Harper goes back to first. Like, this isn't that complicated.
It is amazing that we're talking about this as if it is complicated when he is the most expensive player on the team that was signed to play the outfield, that was signed to play the position that is now possibly open for a while. So we'll see on the Garcia thing. Your reaction to that, and would you be willing, open, and should the Phillies move Bryce Harper back to right field for a couple months? If this Garcia thing is a couple-month injury, I need Bryce back in right field. Let's go back to the phone lines, all these things. 215-592-9494. The Garcia injury, the Jalen Carter situation, would you pay him? And, Hugh Douglas here has got a lot of thoughts on this quarterback situation. October.
A lot.
I mean, the October thing. You said 4 weeks, right? You said 4 weeks.
I said extreme case, too. Just put that out there because, some, like, no disrespect, all due respect, some of the people are not that bright, and they're going to hear that, and they're going to be all in there. Oh, my God, you're talking about doing this. No, extreme case scenario.
But is four games even an extreme enough?
Mm-mm.
That to me, it's not.
But if you're looking at it like you're still in your Super Bowl window.
But before you go on, if you have to go to Dalton, the Super Bowl window is over. It's over. You can't win the Super Bowl in Dalton.
If you feel like I said, if in extreme case, if the quarterback is the position that's hindering you from advancing or playing well, if he's not picking up the offense.
then what do you do?
It's not, but
I think you always.
It's no ifs, ands, or buts. See, you're trying to argue something, and I'm asking you in the doomsday scenario. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the doomsday scenario, it's doom. It's doom, Hugh.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
You just said it was. If Jalen can't pick up the offense, they are effed.
This season.
That's it. There's no Super Bowl.
All right, let me give you an analogy. You like relationship analogies, okay? You get married. First couple months, you're like, oh, this might be a disaster. Maybe this is the wrong...
first couple months.
Well, hold on. Don't you owe it to yourself and the marriage to see if it smooths out over the first year? Like, yes. I've only been married once. I've been married for almost 15 years. But, like, I could... If you got divorced within the first couple months, I don't know, man. I feel like you, unless it's catastrophic... You kind of owe it to yourself and the marriage to see, let's ride this for 1 year. You know what I mean? Like, because if you bench Jalen after 1 month, it's over. He will never be their quarterback again, and you're committed to finding a new quarterback, whoever that is.
Okay. And everything you're saying is fair, right? But you're also, I think you guys are, you're living in a vacuum right now because there has been stories that have been written in the past that Jalen hasn't done certain things in this offense. Even though Jalen has won, we've all heard the stories.
I agree.
About him not picking up the offense or not him not doing this. So you're telling me right now that, and everything that has been said about Jalen, that you're telling me right now, if they feel like they still have a Super Bowl caliber roster and that's the one position that's holding you back, you're going to wait to the week 18 to pull the trigger or whatever it is. If you feel like Andy Dalton could come in and just – put the ball in the hands of the playmakers. Why would you do that?
So I guess the only way I can answer that is because I don't feel like there's any upside to Dalton. Like,
not enough.
I'll give you the example. If the 49ers felt this about Purdy, right? There's no stories about this, but if they did, like you could kind of talk yourself into Mac Jones. He was he's 28, 29 years old. He played well just last year when Purdy went down. Mm-hmm. I could see Shanahan like talking himself into Purdy's ruining our season. Screw it. I could win 12 games with Mac Jones. I can't see that with Andy Dalton. Like, is the juice worth the squeeze on the whole thing?
Okay, when Sam Darnold got to Seattle, did anybody foresee him doing with what you already knew about him?
He's a young player.
He's in his prime.
I'm asking yes or no questions. I don't need all the other semantics. I'm asking yes or no questions.
Well, no, but it doesn't matter.
Okay,
it does
matter because he was a first round draft pick and he didn't get the job.
And he's like 50.
Wait, hold on, but he was an MVP candidate the year before in the league.
So answer me this. Riddle me this, then. Joker.
Dalton's been a backup.
Why is Andy? Why is he here? And why is he getting as many reps as the starting quarterback?
He's here because they're going to trade McKee.
Yeah. Also,
okay.
Like,
so why is he getting as many reps as the starting quarterback?
Because
backup
quarterbacks need reps in case they need to fill in a game.
Why do you think he? You still didn't answer the question. Why is he getting as many reps? If reps are at a premium in the NFL,
yes.
Why is he getting as many reps as the starting?
Why would
quarterback?
Any backup get reps?
Because he. Even the backup doesn't get that many reps.
Hugh.
When I was a backup, when I got in the league. Yeah. The starter got the most reps. I got like 6 snaps.
I think the Dalton thing is short-sighted because if Jalen can't pick up the offense, you have 2 best-case scenarios here, right? One is you let Jalen play it out, figure it out. And in that best-case scenario, guess what? Now you know you probably have a franchise quarterback, right? And the other best-case scenario is Andy Dalton comes in. Maybe you stay afloat. You win 10 games. You win a playoff game. Whoop-de-do. You know who's
Flacco
not here
Browns.
Next year?
The Flacco
Andy
Browns.
Or Jalen.
Yeah, it'd be the Flacco Browns thing. That's,
right.
Yeah.
So what am I saying that you're missing? Because what I just said was if he can't pick up the offense,
yes.
Then Andy Dalton is going to be the go-to.
No. No,
so who's the go-to then, Kyle?
There's no go-to. You let Jalen try and figure it out the whole season.
Do you think that the Eagles feel that they're still a Super Bowl caliber team?
That if Jalen can't pick it up, then they're not.
I didn't ask you that, Kyle.
That's the question. That is the question.
Kyle, they brought in a new offensive coordinator. Just answer the question, yes or no. Do you think that they feel that they're still a Super Bowl caliber team?
I think they feel like they have a chance.
They do. If you're putting out stories that the quarterback – is not doing this, that, and the third. What is that inadvertently saying? Is that he's holding you back? Can we agree with that?
But if the Dalton part of it doesn't make sense.
I agree with your premise.
If you're putting stories out there that he is not picking up the offense and he's going renegade,
he denied that. He denied that.
So what are you bringing in Andy Dalton for and making him the number two?
To just be a backup, a regular backup.
Okay. I've been asking
this.
We're talking
about
the worst case scenario. Why the hell is Andy Dalton here?
Okay.
I just think that I understand. I'm with you on the Hurts part of it. The Dalton part of it makes no sense to me.
Well, okay. Well, not in October. No. Listen, are we getting on a plane to London and Dalton's playing? I mean, holy hell. That's a long flight to go watch Andy Dalton.
That would be a lot.
I'm not getting on a flight to watch Andy Dalton.
And with all of that just being said, I have to reiterate that I feel like that's not going to happen. That's a doomsday scenario.
Yeah.
That's a doomsday scenario.
And in that case,
scenario.
They're screwed.
I mean, they are. If they put him out there, they feel like they got a chance to win.
This would make more sense if it was McKee. That's, again, why I don't understand the Andy thing. Like, at least McKee, you could, like, squint and say, oh, can he be a 2-year starter in the league as a bridge quarterback?
So
Andy Dalton is ancient.
Okay, so why isn't Tanner why is he getting as many reps as Dalton?
I don't know.
Make sense to
me. I just tried to tell you.
Just because you have a theory doesn't mean you're right.
No, right, exactly. Also, I can offer you a theory as to why. They think Andy Dalton is better in a short-term scenario of just a game or two than Tanner McKee. Because Andy Dalton has veteran experience playing on, like, over multiple seasons, multiple different rosters, offensive coordinators. He gives them a better chance in a short-term scenario.
Also,
that's why.
The two in June is not always the two in December. Right?
That's fair.
You go back to 2020. If my memory serves, it was Wentz, Sudfeld, and Hurts was the three, project quarterback, right?
But you can say the same thing about San Fran because injuries put Purdy on the field.
By the time it got to the point where they had a bench Wentz, Hurts jumped Sudfeld, right? Because there was no upside to Sudfeld. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. AB in Philly is up on WIP. What's up, AB?
What's going on, fellas?
AB, what's up?
All right, so first, I'm doing great. I'm just going over the list of charities Joe's going to have to donate to when Jalen Hurts ultimately wins MVP this year.
Of the league? MVP of the league.
I want to make sure. Correct, yes. Okay. Right. Just want to make sure you know that bet's still on.
I can't wait. You name the charity. When he wins NFL MVP, I'm in. That'd be awesome.
I got a list of them, Joe.
Okay.
So the main reason I'm calling is because I want to help you guys change the culture at WIP.
Okay? Sure. Like the internal culture what culture are we talking about? Or like the outward culture that you hear?
The perception of you guys, right? Okay. I think there is a lot of negativity sometimes, you know? And what I mean by that, if you guys would allow me to elaborate, is within the last 24 hours, we're talking about two practices of Jalen Hurts and how this is a cause for concern. We're talking about BG going out sad and how it's not what it should have been. We're talking about the worst case scenario with Jalen Carter. I would like to propose that we start implementing best case scenarios. I'd like to see what are the optimistic outlooks. Why can't we do that?
Give me one.
Well, okay, for example, the Jalen Hurts practices, you guys were emphasizing how it could be, or specifically you, Joe, how it could be, you know, problematic if the quarterback's not doing too well in these practices. Mm-hmm. What about the inverse, right? He's playing against our defense. Our defense is really good. What about if our defense is the top defense of the league this year?
So, AB,
what are the levels
I guess,
that our team
so,
could reach?
I guess for me, and I just speak for myself, I don't see that there's no value to saying things we all know. We already know the Eagles defense is good. Like, I didn't wake up yesterday and say, oh, maybe the Eagles defense will be top five. I know that already. So, like, I don't think we're learning anything that the Eagles defense is playing well. They're loaded. They have Vic Fangio. That's not a story. You think it's a story that the Eagles defense is good?
I think it's something that the fans would be interested in.
Everyone knows this already. Everyone knows it, though, AB. Like, what's the discussion? Hey, ready? Let's do it. Eagles are going to be really good on defense. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
What a great long conversation we just had.
Okay, but what you guys are doing then are actually acknowledging that you're focusing on the stuff that is negative
focusing on what is interesting. If we all know something, it's not interesting. Like, AB, Bryce Harper, good baseball player. Yes, we all agree on this. We all know this already. That's not an interesting conversation. What's interesting is, is the Eagles defense good? Absolutely. AB, will Jalen Hurts be able to pick up this offense? That's what the season hinges on. It's not if the Eagles defense is good or not. We already have that answer. Why are you asking questions you have answers to already?
Oh, I mean, it's not okay. So I understand that. I think it's more of a matter of how we perceive the topics at hand. We're perceiving them in the worst possible outcome.
Well, that's like
Let me jump in. AB, who was that on? If you're perceiving the conversation we're having as negative, who is that on?
Well, I mean, it's not just me.
I asked a question and you didn't answer. Who is that? If you perceive the conversation that we're having is negative, then who is that on? Because let me tell you the reality of what you just saying that you don't want to answer is because you're listening to what I'm saying. And instead of you taking out what you can nurture and you know, feed upon, you want to focus on the negative. Like if somebody say Jalen had a bad game, that's the only thing you heard. You didn't hear the reason and why. You just heard the negativity that you perceived. So, again, I ask you, if we're having a conversation, if I sat here and I said if Jalen's not picking up this offense and he's going to get benched, how is that being negative? That's a fact. If he's not picking it up and they feel that he's hindering them, they're going to move on from him. So how is that being negative?
Well, it's like I said, the totality of all of the topics at hand. It's like the topic you're speaking about in particular, yes, you brought up the worst case scenario, right? In this instance, what? Why is it always that? That's my point, right? I understand it's for the sake of the argument, but then when we talk about BG and his exit,
you're starting to long talk a little bit. We up right up against the break. The reason why it's a conversation because just like I presented it, if the quarterback and the backup quarterback are getting the same amount of reps. As a former player, that says to me that they're splitting time because they want him to be just as prepared as the quarterback.
Sure, yeah.
So why is it being negative that I'm asking that question?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it doesn't make him feel warm and fuzzy.
Well, that might guess.
This is wrong.
Also, if you want to have the take, this is going to be the best Vic Fangio defense because he's 3 years in and they're all getting older and they're all closer to their prime. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll entertain that this could be the best one, which would be the best defense in Eagles history. And maybe they could win the Super Bowl on the back of their defense. That would have been an interesting spin on it, AB.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go through it. What's the best case scenario for the Eagles this year? They win the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
Agreed?
Yes.
You agreed? Best case scenario, win the Super Bowl?
No.
Now, you're being difficult
rage
to be
bait.
Difficult.
Rage bait.
Negative Nancy
not
Douglas.
As
unbelievable. All right, 215-592-9494. You can get in on all this. Jalen Carter, would you pay him? The Hurts Dalton stuff, I think week four is just way too early. Week five, whatever, to even consider anything. We'll stick with the subject of the quarterback, too, because something happened with another quarterback yesterday. It's likely going to affect the Eagles in their situation. We'll hit on that, and it's about money. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.